Chapter 7. The events of the first day of the week to Jesus' final ascension. The scriptural records and the calculations of the Hebrew calendar prove conclusively that Jesus was resurrected when the sun set at the end of the weekly Sabbath. The gospel accounts do not directly reveal what Jesus did between the time that he was resurrected and the time that he was seen by Mary Magdalene the next morning. However, from the scriptural records we can piece together what Jesus did from the time that he was resurrected until he ascended to be accepted by God the Father in the morning as the true wave sheaf. The account in the Gospel of John gives us an understanding of what Jesus did first when he came back to life in the tomb. Then Simon Peter came following him, John, and he went into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin that had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. John 20, verses 6 and 7. The record of John shows that when Jesus came back to life, he rose straight out of the burial wrappings without disturbing them. When Peter entered the tomb, he saw Jesus' burial wrappings still in the form of his body. This was absolute proof that Jesus had risen from the dead, and no one had taken his body. If someone had taken away his body, it would still have been wrapped with the linen burial cloths. After rising out of the burial wrappings, Jesus took off the napkin that covered his head and neatly folded it and placed it close by, separate from the other burial clothes. This was an additional proof that he was alive. If anyone had taken his body, the napkin would have either remained on his head or fallen to the ground. It would not have been folded and placed neatly by itself. The Apostle John, who was with Peter, saw these things and believed. Verse 8. After folding the napkin, Jesus undoubtedly offered a prayer of thanksgiving to God the Father for raising him back to life. Perhaps Jesus thought of the prophecy of his resurrection in Psalm 16. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. You shall uphold my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a beautiful inheritance. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to the grave, neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Verses 5 and 6, verses 9 through 11. After offering his prayer of thanksgiving, Jesus must have left the tomb. He did not need to have the stone removed from the entrance of the tomb, because he was now spirit and had the ability to pass through matter. The Gospel of Luke confirms this fact. Luke records that approximately 24 hours after his resurrection, Jesus suddenly appeared in a closed room where the disciples were assembled. This took place late on the first day of the week, after he had walked with the two disciples to the village of Emmaus. And they, the two disciples, rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, "In truth, the Lord has risen, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they related the things that had happened to them on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, as they were telling these things, Jesus himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." Luke 24, verses 33 through 36. The Apostle John also wrote of Jesus' sudden appearance. Afterwards, as evening was drawing near that day, the first day of the weeks, and the doors were shut where the disciples had assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And after saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced because they had seen the Lord. John 20, verses 19 and 20. Because the resurrected Jesus had the ability to pass through matter, he was able to leave the tomb before the stone was rolled away from the entrance. It is certain that he left the tomb almost immediately after he was resurrected. Remember, Jesus had said, "The Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights." If he had remained in the tomb for any length of time after his resurrection, he would have been in the heart of the earth for more than 3 days and 3 nights. Where did Jesus go after he left the tomb? The scriptures do not specify. However, it is probable that he went to a place on the Mount of Olives. Luke records that Jesus was accustomed to going there, where he had a special place of prayer. On the Passover night, after Jesus instituted the New Covenant ceremony, he and the disciples had gone to the Mount of Olives. Then he left the house and went, as he was accustomed, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you do not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and falling to his knees, he prayed. Luke 22, verses 39 through 41. In his account, Matthew identifies the place of prayer as Gethsemane. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go onward and pray." Matthew 26, verse 36. This is the place where Jesus prayed for nearly 3 hours before he was arrested, verses 37 through 44. Since Jesus did not ascend to the Father until the morning after his resurrection, it is very probable that he went to the Mount of Olives to his special place of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Once there, Jesus most certainly would have offered up prayers of praise and thanksgiving to God the Father the entire night for having raised him from the dead. We are able to get a glimpse of what Jesus might have prayed from the prophecies in the book of Psalms that foretold Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus Christ had complete faith that God the Father would raise him from the dead. Psalm 108 reveals Jesus' faith for that deliverance. "O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing, I will give praise, even with my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awake early. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches unto the clouds." "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, so that your beloved, Jesus Christ, the Father's beloved Son, may be delivered from the power of death. Save with your right hand and answer me. God has spoken in his holiness to raise Jesus from the dead. I will rejoice. Psalm 108, verses 1 through 7. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews confirms that while Jesus was still in the flesh, he cried out to the Father to save him from death, who in the days of his flesh offered up both prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because he feared God. Although he was a son, yet he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 9. During his life in the flesh, Jesus had prayed fervently to the Father for strength to resist temptation, so that he would not incur the death penalty for sin, but might lay down his life as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. Since he prayed so fervently before he died, he must have been equally fervent in thanking and praising the Father for having raised him from the dead. We know that the words of Psalm 22 were uttered by Jesus as he was dying on the cross. Just before he died, he uttered the last words of Psalm 22, "It is finished," fulfilled in John 19:30. The following psalm, Psalm 23, has far more meaning when viewed in the context of his crucifixion and resurrection. Could he not also have uttered these words in his prayers to God the Father after he was resurrected? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, lack anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul by the resurrection. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," the crucifixion, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever into the ages of eternity." The events on the morning after Jesus' resurrection. The gospel accounts show that as the sun was rising early in the morning on the first day of the week, the women came bringing spices to anoint Jesus' body. Although Mary Magdalene left home while it was still dark, by the time she arrived at the tomb, it was light enough for her to see that the stone had been removed, John 20 and verse 1. Apparently, just before she and the other women arrived, an angel had opened the tomb. If it had been open for any length of time before the women arrived, the soldiers would not have been standing guard. And in the morning, suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now his appearance was as lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, those who were keeping guard trembled and became as dead men. Matthew 28, verses 2 through 4. As the women were approaching the tomb, they were wondering who would roll away the huge stone from the entrance of the tomb in order for them to anoint Jesus' body with the spices. But when they arrived, the stone had already been removed and the tomb was open. Mark gives this account. And very early on the first day of the week, at the rising of the sun, they were coming to the tomb, and they were asking themselves, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" For it was a massive stone. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. And after entering the tomb, they saw a young man, the angel who had rolled away the stone, sitting on the right, clothed in a white robe. And they were very frightened. But he said to them, "Do not be afraid. You are seeking Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said to you." And they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they did not say anything to anyone because they were afraid. Mark 16, verses 2 through 8. The gospel accounts clearly record that the angel told the women, "He is risen, he is not here." Jesus was not in the tomb. Jesus was not there because he had been resurrected from the dead as the weekly Sabbath ended over 12 hours earlier. He did not need the stone to be rolled away to leave the tomb, because he had the power to pass through matter. However, it was necessary for the stone to be removed in order for the women to see that he was not there. They found the tomb empty, except for the grave cloths that had been wound around his body. When the other women left to tell the disciples, Mary Magdalene went to tell Peter and John. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." As a result, Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. Now the two ran together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooped down and saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not enter. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin that had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had come to the tomb first also went in and saw these things, and he believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture, which decreed that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their home. John 20, verses 2 through 10. After Peter and John left, Mary Magdalene remained at the tomb because she thought that they had taken away the Lord, and she did not know where he was. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, who were sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laid. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." John 20, verses 11 through 13. After all those things transpired, Jesus returned to the tomb and appeared to Mary Magdalene. And after saying these things, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him off, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him, "Rabboni," that is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came to the disciples bringing the word that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her. Verses 14 through 18. Correcting the misinterpretation of Mark 16, verse 9. In the King James Version, Mark 16:9 reads as follows. "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, comma, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene." This translation makes it appear that Jesus was resurrected early in the morning on the first day of the week. However, the gospel accounts show that Jesus was raised at the close of the weekly Sabbath, approximately 12 hours before the women came to the tomb. The erroneous impression that the King James translation gives can be corrected simply by the addition of a comma in the proper place. "Now when Jesus was risen, comma, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene." A more accurate translation as well, as the proper placement of the comma, clears up any misunderstanding or misinterpretation. It reads as follows. "Now after Jesus had risen, comma, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene." With the proper translation and placement of the comma, this verse harmonizes with the rest of the scriptural facts as found in the other gospel accounts. Jesus fulfilled the wave sheaf offering. In John's gospel, we find this post-resurrection account. "Jesus said to her, Mary Magdalene, 'Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father and my God and your God,'" John 20, verse 17. When Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, he did not allow her to touch him, because he had not yet ascended to God the Father. The words that he spoke to her show that he was about to ascend. We can conclude that he ascended to the Father soon after she left to tell the disciples. When Jesus ascended, he fulfilled a very special temple ceremony that God had commanded for this day. This ceremony was the presentation of the wave sheaf offering of the first of the first fruits of the grain harvest, which was performed at approximately 9 a.m. in the morning after the morning burnt offering had been made. It was at this time that Jesus ascended to God the Father. The wave sheaf was offered each year on the first day of the week during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As the sacrifice of the Passover lamb was a foretype of the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ, so the offering of the wave sheaf was a foretype of Jesus' ascension to the Father. This day was a special day, but not a holy day. At the temple on the first day of the week during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the priest would perform the wave sheaf ritual. We find God's command for the wave sheaf offering in the book of Leviticus. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the land which I give to you, and shall reap the harvest of it, then you shall bring the premier sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the next day after the Sabbath, the first day of the week during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the priest shall wave it." Leviticus 23, verses 9 through 11. Messianic rabbi Alfred Edersheim records the details of the harvesting of the wave sheaf in his book, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. This Passover sheaf was reaped in public the evening before it was offered, and it was to witness the ceremony that the crowd had gathered around the elders. Already on the 14th of Nisan, the spot whence the first sheaf was to be reaped had been marked out by tying together in bundles. While still standing, the barley that was to be cut down according to custom, in the sheltered Ashes Valley across Kidron. When the time for cutting the sheaf had arrived, that is, on the evening of the 15th of Nisan, by Pharisaic reckoning, even though it were a Sabbath, the journey to harvest was undertaken before the end of the Sabbath, but was within the prescribed traditional Sabbath day's journey. Just as the sun went down, three men, each with a sickle and basket, set to work. Clearly, to bring out what was distinctive in the ceremony, they first asked of the bystanders three times each of these questions. "Has the sun gone down? With this sickle, into this basket, on this Sabbath, or the first Passover day? And lastly, shall I reap?" Having each time been answered in the affirmative, they cut down barley to the amount of one ephah, or about 3 pecks and 3 pints of our English measure, Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, page 619. Note, there was a dispute between the Pharisees and Sadducees as to which Sabbath this verse is designating. The Pharisees applied this command to the first holy day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was the 15th day of the first month of Nisan. In their view, the morrow after the Sabbath, the day for harvesting the wave sheaf, was always the 16th of Nisan. On the other hand, the Sadducees, who were in charge of the temple during the days of Jesus Christ, understood that God's command in Leviticus 23:11 was referring to the weekly Sabbath, which occurred in conjunction with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In the years when the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread fell on the weekly Sabbath, both the Sadducees and the Pharisees would observe the 16th of Nisan as the day for the wave sheaf offering. Although the Sadducees and Pharisees generally disagreed over the correct day for the wave sheaf offering, there was never any question about the correct time of the day for harvesting it. After it was cut, the bundled sheaf was brought to the temple and placed alongside the altar of burnt offering. Then in the morning, After the daily burnt offering of a lamb, the priest would wave or elevate the sheaf to be accepted of the Lord. This was a special ceremonial sheaf. In the Shocken Bible, Volume 1, the Five Books of Moses, Everett Fox translates Leviticus 23:10 and 11 in this manner. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land that I am giving you, and you harvest its harvest, you are to bring the premier sheaf of your harvest to the priest. He is to elevate the sheaf before the presence of YHWH for acceptance for you. On the morrow of the Sabbath, the priest shall elevate it. Note the key words in God's instructions for the wave sheaf offering, for acceptance for you, meaning on your behalf. When Jesus Christ ascended to the Father on the wave sheaf day as the first of the first fruits, his sacrifice for our sins was accepted by the Father on our behalf. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, was accepted as the sin offering, not only for our sins, but for the sins of all mankind. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29. Jesus fulfilled the wave sheaf offering as the first of the first fruits to be resurrected from the dead. The premier sheaf symbolized the risen Christ. When the priest elevated the sheaf to be accepted by the Lord, it represented Jesus Christ ascending to the Father to be accepted as the first of the first fruits. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that this premier sheaf of the first fruits was a type of Jesus Christ. After he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven to present himself to God the Father. But now, Christ has been raised from the dead. He has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruit, then those who are Christ's at his coming. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23. Because Jesus is the first of many who will be resurrected from the dead as immortal children of God, he is also called the firstborn from among the dead, as Paul writes to the Colossians. Because by him were all things created, the things in heaven and the things on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether they be thrones or lordships or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all, and by him all things subsist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in all things he himself might hold the preeminence. Colossians 1:16-18. In his epistle to the Romans, Paul makes it clear that many will be resurrected from the grave and be added to the family of God as immortal brethren of Jesus Christ. Because those whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his own Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29. Paul also tells the Corinthians that those who die in the faith will be resurrected at his coming. The resurrection of the saints of God to immortality and glory will mark the end of the first fruits harvest. just as the resurrection of Jesus signaled its beginning. As he ascended to heaven in the clouds, so he will return, and all the transformed saints will rise into the air to meet him. The entrance of the saints into the family of God has been made possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which was accepted by God the Father on the wave sheaf day. Jesus Christ accepted by God the Father. The ascension of Jesus to God the Father was an awesome event. Jesus Christ had finished the work that the Father had given him to do. As God manifest in the flesh, he had lived a perfect, sinless life and had died by crucifixion to become the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. God the Father had raised Jesus back to life, and on the wave sheaf day, he was ready to ascend to the throne of God the Father to be accepted as the first of the first fruits, the firstborn among many brethren, and the perfect sacrifice to propitiate the sins of the world. As he was ascending to the Father, Jesus must have been filled with great joy and anticipation. He would see the Father face to face for the first time since he had become a pinpoint of life when he divested himself of his power and glory as God to be born of the Virgin Mary. Again, the Psalms help us comprehend some of the thoughts and feelings that Jesus might have experienced as he looked forward to being reunited with the Father. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see your power and your glory as I have seen you in the sanctuary. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 3. As previously noted, Psalm 23 foreshadowed the prayers of Jesus after he was resurrected from the dead. The psalm to follow, Psalm 24, is in prophetic sequence and depicts Jesus' ascension to be received of God the Father. When he arrived in heaven, the angels sang and shouted for joy. Perhaps this psalm was sung by the angels as they opened the everlasting doors and announced that the King of Glory was entering into the presence of God the Father. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness of it, the world, and those who dwell in it, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity and has not sworn deceitfully, the perfect life of Jesus Christ. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, O you everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He was victorious over human nature, sin, Satan the devil, and death. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, O you everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Psalm 24, verses 1 through 5 and 7 through 10. What a magnificent scene of splendor and glory Jesus would have seen when he entered through the everlasting gates of heaven. Standing on the sea of glass, he would have seen the resplendent glory and awesome majesty of God the Father seated on his throne with the heavenly host round about. The Apostle John, the one whom Jesus loved, saw a vision of God's throne and recorded it in the book of Revelation. What John recorded is what Jesus would have seen when he ascended to the Father. After these things I looked, and behold, a door opened in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was as if a trumpet were speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you the things that must take place after these things." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one was sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was in appearance like a jasper stone and a sardius stone, and a rainbow was all around the throne, like an emerald in its appearance. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and they had on their heads golden crowns. And proceeding from the throne were lightnings and thunders and voices and seven lamps of fire, which are the seven spirits of God, were burning before the throne. And before the throne was a sea of glass like crystal. And all around the throne and over the throne were four living creatures full of eyes before and behind. And the first living creature was like a lion, and the second living creature like a calf, and the third living creature had the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And each of the four living creatures had six wings respectively, and around and within they were full of eyes, and day and night they ceased not saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was, and who is, and who is to come." And when the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanksgiving to him who sits on the throne, who lives into the ages of eternity, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives into the ages of eternity, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, because you did create all things, and for your will they were created and exist." Revelation 4, verses 1 through 11. This was the scene that Jesus would have seen as he walked forward to present himself to the Father as the perfect sacrifice for sin. He was the first of the firstfruits and the firstborn from the dead. As he walked on the sea of glass toward the Father sitting on his throne, the angels, the 24 elders, and God the Father would see on his body the scars of the lashes that he had received when he was beaten with the cat of nine tails, which tore open his flesh. They would see the scars in his hands and feet where the soldiers had nailed him to the cross. When the Father's beloved Son greeted his Father, they must have opened their arms and embraced each other in profound love and tears of joy. Thus, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was accepted by God the Father on the wave sheaf offering day. After he was accepted of the Father, Jesus was selected to open the seven seals. He and he alone was qualified, because he had overcome all. The Apostle John saw this tremendous scene in the vision and recorded it. And in the right hand of him who sits on the throne, I saw a book written within and on the back, which had been sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose its seals? But no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look inside of it. And I, John, was weeping greatly because no one was found worthy to open and to read the book or to look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, Do not weep. Behold, the Lion who is of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome to open the book and to loose its 7 seals. Then I saw, and behold, before the throne and the 4 living creatures, and before the elders, was standing a lamb as having been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God that are sent into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sits on the throne. And when he took the book, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having harps and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the book and to open its seals, because you were slain and did redeem us to God by your own blood out of every tribe and language and people and nation, and did make us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I saw, and I heard the voices of many angels around the throne, and the voices of the living creatures and the elders, and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and those that are on the sea, and all the things in them, I heard saying, To him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and sovereignty into the ages of eternity. And the 4 living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives into the ages of eternity. Revelation 5:1-12. This is the glory and majesty that Jesus Christ received when he was accepted by God the Father as the Savior and Redeemer of mankind on the wave sheaf offering day. Jesus had overcome sin in the flesh and gained complete victory over death, opening the way for the redemption and salvation of all mankind through faith in him. Now he lives in eternal glory as the first of many sons of God who will be resurrected at his second coming to share his eternal glory and immortality. Those who are Jesus Christ's are now being perfected through the love, grace, and power of God the Father. They will be granted the identical spiritual existence that the Father and the Son have. They will be the sons and daughters of God the Father and the brethren of Jesus Christ. Jesus shared human existence with mankind in order to become the sin offering for the world, so that all who believe in him may ultimately share his eternal existence and glory in the family of God throughout the ages of eternity. Scriptures from the day after Jesus' resurrection to his ascension. Nisan 18, Sunday morning, April 9, 30 A.D. Early the first day of the week, just before women arrived at the tomb, an angel opens the tomb. Matthew 28. And in the morning, suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now his appearance was as lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, those who were keeping guard trembled and became as dead men. Early the first day of the week, women come to the tomb, but Jesus has already been resurrected. John 20. Now on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb, and she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." As a result, Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. Now the two ran together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooped down and saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not enter. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin that had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had come to the tomb first, also went in and saw these things, and he believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture which decreed that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their home. Jesus appears first to Mary Magdalene. Mark 16. Now after Jesus had risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told it to those who had been with him, who were grieving and weeping. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe it. John 20. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white who were sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had been laid. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And after saying these things, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him off, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Then Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him, "Rabboni," that is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came to the disciples bringing word that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her. Soldiers bribed to lie. Matthew 28. And as they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that were done. Then after gathering together with the elders and taking counsel, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell everyone that his disciples came by night and stole him while you were sleeping. And if the governor hears of this, we will persuade him to release you from responsibility." And they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this report has been spread abroad among the Jews to this day. Jesus appears to two disciples on a journey to Emmaus, Luke 24. And behold, on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, which was about 60 furlongs from Jerusalem. And they were talking with one another about all the things that had taken place. And it came to pass, as they were talking and reasoning, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. He said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you walk? And why are you downcast in countenance?" Then the one named Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you only traveling through Jerusalem and have not known of the things that have happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus the Nazarene, a man who was a prophet, who was mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him up to the judgment of death and crucified him. And we were hoping that he was the one who would redeem Israel. But besides all these things, as of today, the third day has already passed since these things took place. And also, certain women from among us astonished us after they went to the tomb early. For when they did not find his body, they came to us declaring that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said, 'He's living.' And some of those with us went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "O foolish and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken! Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And as they approached the village where they were going, he appeared to be going on further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is declining.' And he entered in as if to stay with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and after breaking it, he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he disappeared from them. And they said to one another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us as he was speaking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' And they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, 'In truth, the Lord has risen, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they related the things that happened to them on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. At sunset, as the first day of the week is ending, Jesus appears to the disciples behind closed doors." Luke 24. Now, as they were telling these things, Jesus himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were terrified and filled with fear, thinking that they beheld a spirit. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts come up in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. That it is I, touch me, and see for yourselves. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see me having. And after saying this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they were still disbelieving and wondering for joy, he said to them, Do you have anything here to eat? Then they gave him part of a broiled fish and a piece of honeycomb. And he took these and ate in their presence. And he said to them, These are the words that I spoke to you when I was yet with you, that all the things which were written concerning me in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, and he said to them, According as it is written, it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And in his name, repentance and remission of sins should be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. For you are witnesses of these things. 8 days later, Jesus appears to his disciples again. John 20. Now after 8 days, his disciples again were within, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came after the doors were shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be to you. Then he said to Thomas, Put forth your finger, and see my hands, and reach out your hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord, and my God. Jesus said to him, Because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are the ones who have not seen, but have believed. Jesus does many miracles in the presence of the disciples. John 20. Now then, Jesus did many other miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life through his name. Sometime later, Jesus is seen by 500 of the brethren. 1 Corinthians 15. And that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part are alive until now, but some have fallen asleep. Next, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Jesus meets the apostles at the appointed mountain. Matthew 28. Now the 11 disciples went into Galilee to the mountain, which Jesus had appointed for them to meet him. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Later, Jesus appears to his disciples in Galilee. John 21. After these things, Jesus again revealed himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And this is how he revealed himself. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael from Cana of Galilee were there together, and the sons of Zebedee and two of his other disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, We also will come with you. They left immediately and got into the ship, but during that night they took nothing. And when morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. However, none of the disciples realized that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, Children, do you have any food? They answered him, No. And he said to them, Cast the net to the right side of the ship, and you shall find some. Then they cast the net, but they did not have the strength to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Then that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And after hearing that it was the Lord, Peter put on his outer garment because he was naked and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in a small ship, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits away. Now then, when they came upon the land, they saw a fire of coals spread, and fish lying on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." Simon Peter went up to the shore and drew the net to the land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and dine." But none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew that it was the Lord. Then Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus revealed himself to his disciples after being raised from the dead. Jesus asks Peter if he loves him and commands him to feed and shepherd Jesus' sheep. John 21. Therefore, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lamb." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, since you were young, you have dressed yourself and walked wherever you have desired. But when you are old, you shall stretch out your hands, and another shall dress you and bring you where you do not desire to go." Now he said this to signify by what death he would glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." But when Peter turned, he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also sat at the supper and leaned on his chest and had said, "Lord, who is it that is betraying you?" Seeing him, Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, what shall happen to this one?" Jesus said to him, "If I desire that he remain alive until I come, what is it to you? You follow me." Then the saying went out among the brethren that that disciple would not die. However, Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If I desire that he remain alive until I come, what is it to you?" This is the disciple who testifies concerning these things and who wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Jesus Christ commissioned to the apostles before his final ascension to heaven. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the completion of the age. Amen." Jesus ascends to heaven for the second and final time. Acts 1. The first account I indeed have written, O Theophilus, concerning all things that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after giving command by the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also, by many infallible proofs, he presented himself alive after he had suffered, being seen by them for 40 days, and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. And while they were assembled with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard of me. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit after not many days. So then, when they were assembled together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority, but you yourselves shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. And after saying these things, as they were looking at him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now while they were gazing intently up into heaven as he was going up, two men in white apparel suddenly stood by them, who also said, You men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, shall come in exactly the same manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus did far more than is recorded. John 21. But there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I do not suppose that even the world itself could contain the books that would be written. Amen.